We can buy it for you. Thank you very much. Sort out my notes here. Are the people way back there? That's fantastic. I don't need any notes. Well, I really appreciate this opportunity, and I feel very much at home here. I think we're pretty much on the same track philosophically, and that's what it's all about in America. We have the conservative ticket. They have that ultra-liberal ticket. And I think you're going to make the right choice on November 2nd. I thought I might talk just for a second about Carter's energy policy. That's all it would take. It would take a longer time than that to discuss Senator Mondale's record in the Congress on energy. He's done everything he can to put this nation out in the cold, and we're going to put him out in the cold on November 2nd. One of his contributions to solving the energy crisis was to delay the start of the Alaska pipeline for 14 months. That was about his biggest contribution. Everything else was negative. That's pretty negative, too. But in his line or pecking order, that was probably one of his better votes, because he's also voted to break up the oil companies on the theory that that's good politics. That may be good politics, but it's not very good business for America. It's not very good for those who are working for oil companies or those who own stock in oil companies. And I just say that I trust that... As I said yesterday, Governor Carter will assure the American people that if under some unfortunate circumstance, he should be elected, that his Vice President Mondale would not have anything to do with energy policy, because he doesn't understand energy policy. He just happens to think all you have to do is roll back the prices, keep on the regulation, take away the depletion allowance, and that the men and women who work in that industry are going to go out and at a loss, explore and develop more energy, whether it be oil or gas or whatever. And I just say it doesn't work that way. If we have any faith in the free enterprise system, we ought to let the free enterprise system work. And that's our philosophy, and that's your philosophy. Now, it may be good politics in some part of the country to say we ought to break up the oil companies. That sounds good because most people think oil companies are just one big rich man who's got lots of oil and has a monopoly and otherwise controls the price and every other bad thing they can think about. And so I want to stress again that I'm concerned about our energy policy. President Ford's concerned about the energy policy. He's recommended to Congress a reasonable deregulation formula. And I said the other day, I was standing in Oklahoma City in 30-degree temperature, I guess, and about 30-mile-an-hour winds. And at that very same day, on that very same day, Senator Mondale was out in California where the temperature was about 80, talking about the energy policy. Well, had he been in Oklahoma City, he might have been able to appreciate a little more that day. But if he had his way, we'd all be cold. And I just say to my friends in Louisiana, I come from an oil-producing state, and we have gas production in the state of Kansas, not on the same scale as you have here. But I believe I understand the need for development, the need for incentives, the need for exploration. And oh, yes, I guess if somebody wants to make an excess profit, we ought to do something about that. If there's some big windfall profit, we ought to make certain that profit's gone back into exploration or drilling or discovery or whatever. But it just seems to me that it's not enough to stand up and say to President Ford, where's your energy policy? Without recognizing that the liberals control this Congress and they haven't enacted one single piece of legislation that would increase the energy output in this nation one barrel. And so I just hope that we take a cold, hard look at these two tickets when it comes to energy policy. Now, I'm very proud to be on the ticket with President Ford. I've known President Ford for 16 years. I've known him long enough to work with him. I think I understand him. I view President Ford as a man of competence, a man of confidence, a man of compassion, a man of ability, a very open and a very candid and a very accessible man. And he's the same Jerry Ford today as he was 2 years ago when he assumed the awesome duties as President of the United States. And I know that in this audience are probably some Republicans and many more Democrats. But we all have a philosophical view of America. We all understand what government interference is and what government control is. We probably understand that government does have a necessary role to play in many areas. But I would just suggest a few things where we differ. I just hope, for example, you've taken a look at our platform and you've taken a look at their platform. I tried to point out in a little session we had last Friday night in Houston, Texas, with my friend, Senator Mondale, some of the very basic differences in the present makeup of the two parties. I refer to Senator Mondale as probably the most liberal Senate in the United States Senate. He doesn't deny that. That's his right. He has that philosophy. I also pointed up that in the very liberal platform advocated by Governor Carter, put together by Governor Carter, they call for 65 new or added two spending programs. They're going to have 22 new or expanded agencies. And it's going to cost the taxpayers just for five of the biggest programs over $100 billion. Now, I don't understand how Governor Carter can have it both ways. He says he's going to reduce unemployment, stop inflation, have a balanced budget, and spend $100 billion on new programs. And if we implemented all those programs, it's going to cost $200 billion. At the same time, he's saying to Americans that he doesn't think Americans want their taxes lowered. Is there anyone here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? We've got a doctor with us, and he'd be glad to check you right away. But Governor Carter made that statement in one of his many interviews. This was one without pictures. He also told the Associated Press that those above the median income ought to have their taxes increased. Trouble is, he didn't know what the median income was. He'd been running for president for about 2.5 years and hadn't determined what the median income for an American family was. Well, it's about $14,000 per year. And I don't know many people in that bracket who want their taxes raised. That's middle-income America. President Ford's been trying to get a tax cut for middle-income Americans. In fact, I offered the amendment on the Senate floor to increase the exemption from $750 to $1,000 for every dependent, and it was defeated on almost a straight party vote. Oh, we want tax reform. We want good things for Americans. But we don't go around saying one thing to one audience and something else to another audience. I'm reminded of what my friend, Senator Long, said, and he's the chairman of our Finance Committee, in a TV interview he had, I think, on September 30. He said, if Governor Carter thinks he's going to enact all these programs without increasing taxes on middle Americans, he's going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Well, he doesn't have any rabbits. He got some bunnies, I guess, but no rabbits. Never occurred to me till just now that I could have been using that line before. I don't know how you'd pull a bunny out of a hat, but I... That's Governor Carter's program, and he says, you know, he's from the South, and you're from the South, therefore you're locked in. You're locked in. He took the South for granted, and there was a time in this election when it was almost unbelievable. He was ahead in the South by 40 points. 40 points in the polls. Now we're ahead in the great state of Louisiana by 2 or 3 points, and we're going to win the state of Louisiana. We're going to do that because of the people in Louisiana. Not because of us, but because we have faith in the people. And I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats and independents. And I'm not naive enough to stand up here and say that we could win Louisiana without a great deal of support from Democratic and independent voters. And we thank you for that. I don't know how many in this audience want gun control, but that's in their platform. Senator Mondale was one of 17 senators, one of 17, to vote for registration and licensing of handguns. I think you ought to take a hard look at that. I'm not certain what the views are on abortion in this great state, but you ought to take a look at our platform and take a look at their platform. Again, you're going to find a very marked difference in the two platforms. You go up and down the line, but one area I want to touch on, and that's on defense. I said earlier this morning, you know, we all have our specific problems. We're all concerned as we should be. But whether it's medical care, whether it's education, or whether it's veterans' benefits or whatever, we all may have a special interest in one of those areas. There's one thing we can agree on, and that's the need for a strong America. That's the need for a free America. And I want to touch on that for just a moment because it illustrates very clearly the difference in these two tickets. And you can dismiss our party labels. You can dismiss the way we tie our necktie or comb our hair or stand before you and everything else. But we can't dismiss the strength of this nation. I'm talking about moral strength, yes. I'm talking about military strength for the sake of peace. Now, for the last 10 years in the Congress of the United States, the liberals have pretty much had their way. Oh, yes, the conservative Democrats and most Republicans have fought off the big cuts. We've tried to pass energy legislation. We've tried to keep a strong defense, and I think we have. In the last 10 years, the liberals have cut some $36 to $40 billion in defense. And maybe some of it was justified. I don't suggest we can't save money in the Pentagon. But this year, for the first time in 8 years, through the efforts of President Ford, we have some real growth in the defense budget. The result is, of course, we're respected by our friends overseas. When Governor Carter says we're not respected, he's wrong. We're strong, and when Governor Carter says we're weak, he's wrong. We're also respected by our adversaries, by our enemies. They understand our strength, and they understand our power, and they understand our leadership, and they know that President Ford understands our power and how to use it and how not to use it and how it got there. But let's take a look at the other side. And I imagine some of these countries around the world are wondering what's going to happen on November 2nd. Senator Mondale, my counterpart and my friend in the Senate, and I'll see a lot of him next year there. He has a philosophy that we can just cut and cut and cut our defense budget and not have any new weapon systems, and somehow we can sit down with the Russians or the People's Republic of China and enter some arms agreement or some other agreement just because we're such good fellows and they're such good fellows. Well, I don't know how you do it in your business or your school or wherever. And I want to stop the arms race and I want to cut the spending, but I don't think we do it on a unilateral basis. We don't do it first and then ask them to do it later. I can't recite all of Senator Mondale's negative votes, but let's just take a few. You may recognize some of the names. It's really not that important, but he voted against a B-1 bomber. You know, we're still using B-52s. I imagine there's some B-52 pilots in this audience from World War II. Probably are, aren't there some? He thinks that's good enough. We don't need any new bombers. Use those 30-year-old bombers. And they're going to be 40 years old the time the B-1's completed. He's voted against a C-5A, which was the lifeblood of Israel in the last Mideast war. Against the F-14 fighter. Against the main tank. Against the Trident submarine. And you can go on and on and on. He voted to bring back troops, reduce the troops in Russia, or in Eastern Europe. Western Europe, excuse me, I'm getting mixed up with Ford. I was thinking about tomorrow night's debate. And voted to reduce the troops in South Korea. I just asked this audience, and I don't care about your politics. I think most Americans agree. We've got to sit down with Russia and the People's Republic of China, as I said, and we've got to be in a position of strength. I don't want to be number two in the world. I want to be number one for the sake of peace. And that's what it's all about for young men and young women and mothers and grandmothers and grandparents. I imagine a lot of young men at Southwestern who feel pretty good these days about finishing your education. It's not going to be interrupted by the draft. We don't have the draft. You're not being called to go off to some far-off country to fight someone else's battle. And I say that's in a large part due to our efforts for a strong America, which leads to peace in the world. As we take a hard look at it, every other problem we have pales into insignificance when we're talking about the defense of our country. And the Ford Dole ticket stands for a strong defense. And you're concerned about a strong defense. And the free world's concerned about a strong defense. We are their hope. And Russia and the People's Republic of China respect a strong defense. If we're going to have any balance in this country and balance in the world, we can't have Jimmy Carter going out as he did last year saying we got to cut $15 billion from defense. This year he says $5 to $7 billion. Who knows what he'll say tomorrow night? Because he has about three positions on every issue. That's why they had three debates. So whether it's a right-to-work law, which I believe in, they once asked George Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? I've got a pretty good grip on the Democrat Party, the liberal part of the Democratic Party. I just have sort of a feeling, maybe it's because I was raised in the Midwest in a conservative area much like this one, that there ought to be some freedom and people ought to make a choice. If they want to belong to a labor union, that's fine. I'm for them. If they don't want to belong, that's fine. I'm for them, too. And that's the way it ought to be. And let me say finally that I know Governor Carter has trotted around the South. He's probably going to be back in the South a lot. A lot after November 2nd. With all that new development in Plains, they're going to need a man like him to sort of run things, and I think he can handle it all right. His brother can help him. But he's gone around the South saying, I'm a conservative. We've heard that the Carter people are saying, well, don't believe anything in that platform. We don't really mean that anyway. That's not what he said when he made his acceptance speech. That's not what he said in the Playboy interview. And I only bring it up because I thought of it, but it's something we ought to think a lot about. I don't care how many interviews he gives and who he gives them to, as long as it affects only Jimmy Carter. But I'm concerned about a man's judgment, running for the highest office of our land who would consent to such an interview. But again, that's his problem. If he wants to do that, that's up to him. But if he should be elected president, that's something else. Then if he makes a bad judgment, it affects all of us, or could affect all of us. And we ought to cut it off before it happens. He's talking about open meetings. Going to open up the National Security Council. Everything else, I guess. Can't you imagine the editor of Playboy being there while they're discussing our defense? While they're discussing our world security? And what steps we ought to take in this domestic program and that domestic program? And I know Governor Carter doesn't like us to mention that, but he gave the interview. We didn't. We wouldn't. We didn't. President Ford wouldn't. Let me say this finally. He may tell you he's a conservative, but that's not what he told the Liberal Party of New York when he accepted their endorsement on September 13. They don't endorse conservative candidates. They don't endorse moderate candidates. They don't even endorse liberal candidates. You've got to be way, way out liberal to be endorsed by the Liberal Party of New York. And he was up there for dinner last week, a little gathering of small businessmen. That's the impression he likes to leave, that he represents the average American, the working man and woman, the man in distress, the poor and the sick. I remember he was up there right after the election, after he called our national tax system a disgrace. He went up to New York to a little place called the 21 Club. It's not exactly like McDonald's, I understand, but it's almost that exclusive. And he sat down with a group of these small businessmen, Henry Ford and others. And he said, now, Henry, don't worry about all that stuff I said about taxes, because I probably won't do anything for about a year. And I'm just trying to point out here in a subtle way that there's a lot of hypocrisy in this campaign. And a lot of it may come home to roost on November 2nd if the American people understand what Governor Carter said in the primary when he was trying to get the nomination. Then he was sort of conservative. Then he was sort of moderate. Then he only had one or two positions. But then he won the nomination. And he used the South for a stepping stone to win the nomination. And I say to you, we're not writing off the South, but the South is writing off Governor Carter, and the South should write off Governor Carter. And so if you'll help us between now and November 2nd, we'll promise you one thing, that if you help us, not because we're Republicans, but because we have a philosophy that reflects the majority view of most Americans, and if you'll go to work for us, knocking on doors, telling your friends, making the phone calls, writing letters to other states, whatever, then we promise you 4 years of good, sound government under the leadership of a great president, Gerald R. Ford. Thank you very much.
And if inflation is your...